Thanks, Anna. It's great to be with you from Anchor in Falmouth. And it's a sunny day. It's a sunny day. Way! Right, okay, now you all got to stand up and you've got to move into the sun. So I'm going to have to get you to move. So some of you are in shade. So you've got to kind of go on, up you get. Stand up. I mean, this isn't pretend. Right, now move out of the shade. Just, you don't have to move your chair. Just move out of the shade and just get in so that you can feel the sun on your body, okay? You're very reluctant to move, but I've got a little bit of time, so go for it. Right, now you're in out of the shade of this whopping great parasol-y thing. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. And without opening them, I want you to turn to the sun right now. Turn to the sun. Don't open your eyes. You see, you can feel where the sun is. You know where it is even without looking, don't you? Because you can feel the sun on your face. Even though the sun is a ball of fire, it's 93 million miles away. And in Truro, you know what direction it is today. Isn't that amazing? It's so hot. You can feel it from 93 million miles away. It's so bright that if you were to look at it, which I would not recommend, you would be blinded. It's not safe. Even though it's 93 million miles away, you can go and sit down now, unless you want to stand in the sun. That's great. That's fine. And this week, I was reading Acts 26, verse 13. And it's the description that Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, describes his first encounter with Jesus to King Agrippa. And it says in Acts 26, 13, "One day I was on a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's useless for you to fight against my will.'" That's what happens when you meet the real Jesus. I wonder what your view of Jesus is. Perhaps you see him as some kind of just ethereally kind of figure in white Jesus. Or maybe you see him as a lofty but distant Jesus. Or maybe you see Jesus as some kind of matey, one of your mates type Jesus. One of the lads. Saul, on that day, and he's giving his an account to King Agrippa, met the real Jesus, the one whose face is brighter than the sun. And his life is totally changed. That's what happens when you meet the real Jesus. I was reading as well in Revelation chapter 1 of another encounter with Jesus. This time, it's the Apostle John. And I'm reading from Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. You might just want to listen to this, but look at it later. "I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which God calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. It was the Lord's day and I was worshipping in the spirit. Suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. It said, 'Write in a book everything you see and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, Truro, Rhetoric.'" Oh, no, I didn't say that, but I'm sure it would be, some of it applies. "When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven golden lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. I used to live on the seafront in Newquay. You could hear from your bed the waves crashing against the cliffs. You could feel from your bed the waves crashing against the cliffs. His voice thundered like that. He held 7 stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. This is what happens when you meet Jesus. John's reaction to seeing Jesus: when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. I wonder what your view of Jesus is. Utterly scary. But then notice, the next verse says, but he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first. I'm the last. I'm the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Frankly, there is nothing more reassuring that anyone could ever say than what Jesus says here to John when he places his right hand on him. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, and he refers to his death and his resurrection, when he died and he rose from the dead, he took on mankind's biggest enemy, death itself, and he utterly defeated it. He took death captive. He took away its sting for those who put their trust in Jesus. Perhaps you suffer from fear of death. It's very widespread. Perhaps even some of you have had brush up with death through your work or things in the family or whatever in the last few days or months or whatever. You've experienced something of the sting of death. Jesus, the one whose face is brighter than the sun, wants to release people from the grip and fear of death. Even this morning, he can do that. For those who trust in Jesus, the death conqueror, death is ultimately has lost its sting. Isn't that incredible? I love that bit at the end of the Narnia series in The Last Battle. And I used to read it to my kids and I couldn't read it, actually. I'd get to 2 pages out and start crying and they'd go, give me the book and I'll finish it off, Dad. Now at last, he talks about the end of life and going into the next life. Now at last they were beginning chapter 1 of the great story. Oh my goodness, I might go now. Which no one on earth has read. Which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. That's what's the future for people who put their trust in Jesus. Isn't it amazing? I mean, it doesn't get better than that. Jesus is bigger than death. Jesus is bigger than every circumstance you're facing right now. He's got absolutely every base covered. You can trust Jesus. Totally. Jesus' appearance to Saul, Jesus' appearance to John was utterly scary, but utterly comforting. He lays his right hand on John. You know, the Bible talks about the right hand of God all the way through. The dextera domini, God's right hand, always speaks of God's omnipotent power, his strength and his authority. It says in Psalm 136, when the Lord God delivered the people through the Red Sea, it was by the right hand of God. The same right hand that placed his hand on John. The same right hand that can place his hand on your life. The right hand of authority. 1 Peter 5 verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. You're not just here to listen to a sermon. You've got something to do this morning. You humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he will lift you up in due time. Are you going to do that this morning? Whatever you're going through, you might be really feeling battered right now. You might feel like you need help. You need someone to shield you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. If you need a bodyguard, if you need a shield, you want someone with a strong hand. Jesus has a strong hand. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. One of my daughters, when she was younger, she suffered from quite a bit of anxiety and she'd get scared. And there was one thing that we could do, or two things we could do, that would alleviate the anxiety. It was amazing. You could just see it physically happen. We would speak words of comfort and we would place our hand on her. And you could see, physically see, the anxiety just lift off her shoulders. That's what Jesus does. Words of comfort and a mighty hand placed on your shoulder. And peace comes. Are you anxious right now? Are you scared right now? As you take communion in a minute, Jesus wants to speak words of comfort to you. He wants to place his hand upon you and tell you how much he loves you, how big he is, and speak words of comfort to you. I was reading this in Acts chapter 4, verse 30, which also refers to the hand of God. This is the disciples, the apostles, right at the start of the church. They're praying to Jesus. They're under a lot of trouble. They're under a lot of difficulties. And they say this: stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You see, God's right hand heals physically, heals minds. He can do that right now. As I was praying last night, I felt two things, two particular things that God might want to touch people today. And I'm not asking for anyone to stand up and put their hands up or anything like that. But I just want to say this. Let's just be in the presence of God right now. Endometriosis. Your time's up. Crohn's disease. Your time's up. Sickness. Leave people now. Leave bodies, people suffering from panic attacks, with the authority which you freely give to the church. I tell you to leave sickness from bodies right now and minds. Stretch out your hand, Father, and in the name of Jesus, bring healing to bodies right now. If you sense God has spoken to you, or particularly done something right now, as I've just said that, then it'd be really good for you to share that with someone at the end. And good to hear what God is doing amongst us. But I'll say this as a final comment to you as individuals. Perhaps you're facing an insurmountable, impossible situation. Maybe it's something about your future, something in your family, difficulties right now. You just don't know where to turn. You did put your trust in Jesus, but you brought that situation to Jesus, maybe for a long period of time, but somehow nothing seemed to change and you've lost heart. Remember this: nothing is impossible for Jesus. If Jesus defeated death, he's the God of the impossible. He can sort out the situation. Humble yourself again. Bring that situation to your Father in heaven afresh this morning. And perhaps, again, you might just want to grab somebody and say, could you just pray for me? Someone you know and trust. And I would say this finally as well to Grace Church. Remember who Jesus is. Remember where Jesus is right now. Remember that all authority rests on Jesus. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Grace Church, do not limit him. Do not limit in any way what he can do through you in this town and across this county and even beyond. Let's just pray. And then I'll hand over to whoever, Anna or whoever. Again, let's just humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God right now. We bring ourselves to you, Jesus. As we can feel the sun on our faces this morning, we can sense your presence here too. We humble ourselves right now under your mighty hand. We place our trust in you, Jesus. There's no safer place. We lean all our weight on you. Now, those were my words, but if they also reflect your heart, why don't you just say with me, Amen. Amen. I'll say it again. Amen.